This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Hello, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar on the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. And I have on the telephone from Boynton Beach, Florida, Charles Karin. Charles was in ministry for 27 years before he had a power encounter. He came from a very good, rigid Baptist background, and he actually preached against the gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in unknown tongues, but he had a power, and that's the only way to describe it. He had a power encounter with God that so revolutionized his life. Right after you had this encounter, you had a woman in your church that was an alcoholic. What happened to her, Charles?
I'll share with that with you because it's so important for us to understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not decorations for our lives. They are benefits. They are blessings. They have tremendous potential for good. I had been this woman's pastor for about possibly 11 years. She became an alcoholic during that period. Lost her husband as a result and lost the respect of her family. And actually, Sid, she just became the town drunk. I could do nothing for her.
Now this was back in, 1977?
Yes, this was prior to my baptism in the Spirit.
Okay.
Immediately after my baptism in the Spirit, she got in touch with me. And I was no longer her pastor. We had not seen each other for several years. But she got in touch with me, and she said, Brother Charles, she said, I understand things have changed with you. And I said, yes. And I began to explain to her what had happened to me personally, that I had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was seeing miraculous things happen. Well, do you know, Sid, what was so amazing, I was not actually involved in a deliverance ministry with her. But because we were talking about the things of God, and this dear woman had been so hopelessly an alcoholic and so eager for God to move in her life, she started manifesting deliverance while we talked. It was incredible.
Had you ever seen anything like this before?
Yes, I had seen. By this time, I had seen a number of deliverances take place, but this one was without any effort. It just began happening. The short of it was, in about 5 minutes' time, this woman went through some very ugly, ugly demonic manifestations. And I will tell you, just as in Matthew 17, when the child fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming and frothing, and it was ugly, and demons are ugly, but that did not stop Jesus from doing his ministry. This woman did not experience that. I've seen that happen, but it didn't happen with her. But said the beautiful thing was, in about 5 minutes' time, she was delivered. She was delivered. And that's been years back. She lived the rest of her life without ever touching a drop of alcohol again.
You know, you're speaking about alcoholism, and there are many fine programs that arrest the problem, but do not set people free. In fact, some programs, they say, I am an alcoholic, but for 24 hours, I'm not going to drink, and I'll keep doing it, and I can do it even for years. This is different. This isn't a control. This is being set free.
Exactly. Sid, if we've got a minute, let me read a letter to you. Over the years, in my new ministry, I've had a number of letters from people who've been in various meetings where I've been and have gotten delivered. And can I read one quickly?
Please.
Okay. Dear Pastor Karin, the first time I came to your meeting in the spring of 96, I weighed 86 pounds, suffered from bulimia and anorexia, and vomited as much as 30 times a day. I want to tell you what happened to me the three nights I came. The first night I shook so violently as you preached that I could hardly sit there. The next night I left early and went home with fierce thoughts of suicide. Thank God I returned to the service again. The third night when I met you at the door, I tried to speak, but my body froze like a pretzel. And this is where I remember this. I could not talk. You took me to a private room with several other women, put your arms around my head, and prayed. When you did that, I felt something like hot oil pour down my head and body. One of the women gave me a word of knowledge about my suicidal anger the night before. That final, wonderful night, I was delivered. After you left, I went to the restroom and looked at myself in the mirror. For the first time, I did not see myself as big and ugly. I not only looked normal, I was normal. I want you to know that I have been free ever since. And I say hallelujah.
Let me ask you a question. What about someone that's homosexual? Tell me one specific person you prayed for.
To. And I can even tell you this. In Brother Derek Prince's book, They Shall Expel Demons, Derek asked me to write a section in that book about a young man who was delivered from homosexuality in my office. And it's in that particular book. My name is not in there. Derek just identifies me as a pastor from Florida. But he knew that I had ministered to this young man and others like him. And this young fella came to my office on a Saturday morning. He was a believer. He was a saved man. But he said, and I'm not committing the sin, but he said, I am living in absolute hell because I have no peace, no joy. I'm just barely holding on. And I ministered deliverance to him. And it became one of the, well, I just hate to tell you, that the demon in him bellowed like an angry bull. I mean, bellowed. You could have heard him in the next office, out of our office completely. But he got set free.
And so what you're saying is deliverance is much better than abstinence.
Oh, yes. Yes. Another young man in Tennessee who got married a few months ago, came to my meeting there. I was preaching at Belmont Church, laid hands on him, didn't even know what his problem was. He fell out, and the power of the Spirit manifested a demon, and I, others, ministered deliverance to him. He got set free. I became an instrument to bringing his family to the church and getting their lives transformed. Today, he's a happy married man.
All right. What about something like a schizophrenic? Tell me one testimony.
Okay. I had a psychotherapist to call and ask me if I would minister to 8 or 10 of her patients, and I said I would. And then I regretted it because I thought, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. But God said, gave me a word that this was not a case of deliverance initially. This was a case of calling broken parts of their mind together. And this will bless you because the word that God gave me was from the last chapter of Amos where he promised to regather Israel to the land. And then he took me to Matthew 24 where in the final day Jesus will come at the sound of a trumpet and the angels will gather together his elect from the four winds. And God said these people, schizophrenics, need to have their minds gathered together. So what I did was to sit with them in a very quiet, quiet way, speak to the part of their mind that was in hiding and kind of like a frightened child, coax it to come home. And I would use those words, to come home. It's okay now, the danger's gone, you can come home. Said we had success. We genuinely did. And I'm
how many of the people were set free?
Everyone that came to us were either healed or dramatically helped.
Now, out of curiosity, did they all want this, or some just were sitting there because they were a captive audience?
No, they were not captive. You see, they had already gone to the psychotherapist.
I see. And they said, I wanted you to pray for me.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, listen, I thank God for psychotherapists and doctors and everybody who helps. I thank God for all of them. I have no criticisms to make. It's simply that the medical practice does not go as far as Jesus went.
But wait a second now. Forget the medical practice for just a moment. Your average charismatic Pentecostal church, your average Christian that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaks in unknown tongues, doesn't walk in that kind of power. How come, Charles?
Oh, none of us are in it. I sure don't pretend to be. I know that I've seen the Holy Spirit do some phenomenal things.
Listen, I am reading all the experiences that you've had, and I don't know too many Christians that are moving in this kind of power. What's the stalemate? What's the problem?
All right, I will tell you this, I say this to myself. The biggest handicap to Christian ministry is ego and pride. If the preachers would get the pride out of themselves and get the ego out of themselves and get real with God and forget that it's not important how pretty they look and get serious and earnest with God Almighty and get on their faces before Him and seek the empowering of the Holy Spirit and not care what their denominations think or say or if they're going to lose their retirement or their pension or their whatever, but just get serious with God, then see God move in their lives.
I believe that what you're touching is one of the biggies. It's called pride.
Absolutely.
And it's called being a man pleaser, and it's really a religious spirit. That's what it is.
I could not agree with you more. And the church is infected with religion. Pentecostal charismatics. We're going to see this happen. God is going to ultimately close the door on the present work and begin totally fresh, totally new with somebody else, because historically that's what he's had to do.
You wrote a book called The Edge of Glory, Receiving the Power. What do you hope to accomplish with this book? Why did you write it?
The Edge of Glory is the idea that the earlier disciples were standing kind of 1 foot, their feet in on the earth, but their faces in heaven. They were standing in the edge of glory and we're experiencing the powers of the age to come. And that's where God wants us. And if we're not there, it's because, not God's fault, we haven't gone there. And
So do you believe we all can go in that realm?
Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. It's a matter of believing, not a matter of bluffing.
Charles, I hear people preach that scripture all the time, and talk is cheap. I don't see them moving in it.
Absolutely. And I've experienced failure. I do experience failure. But the failure is mine and not God's. And I absolutely believe the Word of God stands secure and firm. There is no change from the apostolic day to our day. We're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit like they experienced in Acts 8 when Philip preached in Samaria and demons crying with loud voices came out of many. Many that were lame and paralyzed were healed. We've got to get through that awful religious barrier and that pride and ego barrier.
Oh, okay, Mishbucha, consider yourself challenged. You better write for the book, The Edge of Glory, Receiving the Power, because if not now, when? If not you, who? $15 postage paid, The Edge of Glory.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, cassette catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia 31521. Look us up on the web, www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.